Good morning. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians 7, please? 1 Corinthians 7. Our situation is our calling. That is the title today. Our situation is our calling. What does it mean to be called by God? I grew up hearing God's calling spoken about in a way that made people somehow different, called people were somehow different than the rest of us. God had set them aside for something special. So that's what called meant, set aside by God for some particular work. The New Testament as a whole does not quite talk like that, except in the sense as for everybody. We are all set aside for some particular work. And our paragraph in particular erases the idea that being called is just for a few. So this sermon is for every believer who feels like their situation in life has trapped them, their circumstances have tied them up, and somehow we are no longer players in the kingdom. In one way or another, we have ended up in a position where we're not of any real use to God, or at least not the kind of use that we could have been. Maybe we never were much use to God. There is some disadvantage we've had, some lack that has always ruled us out. Or maybe we used to get things done for the Lord, but then something happened to us that takes us away. Maybe we did something to ourselves, or we got hit with something we did not see coming. And either way, circumstances have put us on the sidelines. No, says God to us in this scripture, that never happens. That's never happened since the world began. For each one, your particular and exact situation, just the way it is. That's your assignment from the Lord, and that's your calling. Be faithful to the Lord right there with all your strengths and weaknesses, your troubles and your abilities. Your calling is to be a follower right there. So I'm going to read our scripture now, 1 Corinthians 7, 17. 1 Corinthians 7, 17, and I will read for 8 verses. Each one, as the Lord assigned them, each one, as God called them, should live as a believer in that situation. This is the rule I lay out in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the calling they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For in the Lord, the one who was a slave when called is the Lord's freed person. And similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each one should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Paul's saying these things to the Corinthians because there an error had come into that church. Someone was teaching the Corinthians that marriage was bad. Paul warned about this kind of teaching in 1 Timothy 4. Deceiving spirits, Paul says there, and teachings of demons come into the church through people who are hypocritical liars. That's his term. What do these people teach? They forbid marriage. They tell believers that even in marriage, sexual union is wrong and sinful. And teaching like this had come into the Corinthian church, and some of them believed it. So some husbands in the church were saying to their wives, being together is wrong. I'm not living with you anymore. And some wives in the church were saying to their husbands, being together is wrong. I'm not living with you anymore. So if you read the opening verses of 1 Corinthians 7, that's clearly the problem. And then from there, Paul branches out to speak of marriage more generally. What Paul wants to get rid of is any idea that any of us can move closer to God or become more useful to God by changing our life situation. For example, that anyone's life would be more honoring to God celibate than married, or more honoring to God married than celibate. That any of us could be more faithful and more useful for the Lord by getting rid of some handicap or burden, by changing anything about our circumstances. No, no, says Paul. Your situation is your assignment from the Lord. Your circumstances are your calling from the Lord. Follow the Lord there. So now we'll go through our text sort of one line at a time. Stay in the Lord's assignment. Each one, as the Lord assigned them, each one as God called them, should live as a believer in that situation. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Whatever these people were, whatever they were doing when they became Christians, that was the Lord's assignment for them. Being faithful, right there was God's calling. It will become clear that the real truth here is not that we must stay put. Paul is too practical for that. If you need to move, then move. But no one must ever think that a different situation would make them more pleasing or glorifying to God. What matters to God, and now he talks about being circumcised or being uncircumcised, and the point is, whichever one you are, just let it be. It doesn't matter. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. So being circumcised or not had to do with religious status. Gentiles might want to be circumcised to be as good as Jews, to be included in the righteous people. Jews might want to hide it so they could be more acceptable to Gentiles. For a Jew like Paul to say circumcision is nothing is remarkable, but that is what Paul says. You know, there are still Christians around who have not learned this. It keeps popping up. Christians who think that they somehow get a little higher on the God ladder by keeping this or that from the Old Testament. Some Old Testament command that appeals to them, and that they want to add to standard Christianity. They're keeping something, old kind of Old Testament law that the New Testament says doesn't matter anymore. Jesus and the apostles are clear about which commands of God we should obey. That's what matters. We do that as we are able in our particular situation, and that is what matters. When I was a seminary teacher, I got the feeling from some students that they had come to seminary and were going into ministry because they wanted to move closer to God. Seminary and ministry were a way to show God that they loved God and they were devoted to God. So, I mean, do they want God to see this? Do they want others to see this? Is just this to convince themselves that they were devoted to God? It's hard to say. And I recognize that in others because I had some of that myself. I thought that if you loved God and wanted to serve the Lord, then you sort of aimed yourself into ministry in some way. And that was just wrong. So the Lord did want me at seminary, and as time passed, he pruned away some of the bad reasons for getting there. No situation, no calling is holier or more pleasing than another. Your situation is your assignment from God, just as much as the Apostle Paul's assignment was to preach the gospel. Yours is to be faithful in your situation. It's good to be devoted to God, and it's good to want to show him, and God is glad for that. But then we can stray from the path and show him this by doing things he never asked for. Many believers have done that. They have taken genuine devotion in the wrong direction, things God never asked about. So God gave us these paragraphs to be clear about things like that. Stay in God's calling. Each person should remain in the calling they were in when God called them. This is the middle line. Paul states the core truth three times in our scripture, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Verse 17, 20, and 24. This is the second time. When God calls us to himself and to Christ, when he calls us into his kingdom, he means us to do it where we are. Our call to believe and be saved includes living it out where we are. Paul is practical. If you need to change something in your situation, then change it. Just don't think for 1 minute that you've improved your relationship with God or shown him anything special by changing your situation. Moving into a different situation is not moving toward God. Sometimes God calls us to change our situation, to go somewhere else or do something else, and that's happened to me. And then we do that and we obey, but we have not become more righteous or more special or set apart by doing that. In the kingdom, it's a lateral move. It's just horizontal. And hopefully I was faithful here, and hopefully I will be faithful in the next spot, but that's all that counts. Don't be troubled by your limitations. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Some of us were born with disadvantages we cannot escape, sometimes severe. We have limitations we don't like, and it seems to us that these weaknesses or these burdens rule out the kind of service we'd like to give the Lord. We can't do this because we just aren't made right. God says, don't let it trouble you. What does it look like for someone in exactly your position to be faithful to God? That's your calling. That's your assignment. How could you, in your situation, in your present circumstances, be faithful and bring glory to Jesus? Don't be a hero, just be you. What works for you? That's what he's asking. What works for you? If you can change something, do so. Although if you slaves can gain your freedom, do so, says Paul. This line, in my experience, gets quoted a lot more than anything else in these 8 verses. But really, it is just a parenthesis. I'll tell you something else. This line is very unclear in Greek. It could just as easily mean the opposite. Even if you can gain your freedom, rather make use of your slavery, now more than ever. That's how the New Revised Standard Bible translates it, and that's a fine translation. Even commentaries that take this as the NIV does, Paul allowing slaves to pursue freedom, even they have a long discussion on these words, and they all admit it's hard to say which direction to take it. You should or you shouldn't go for your freedom. And I'm sorry if someone led you to believe that reading Greek makes everything clear. That is not true. But I think the common translation is right. The reason Paul brings up slavery as an example is that most slaves could not change it. They had no choice in the matter. There was no way they were going to get free. And you can't blame the ones who really loved the Lord for regretting their slavery and being sorry they could not do for the Lord the things they saw free people do. And that's why Paul wrote this. Don't let it trouble you. So let's look at ourselves and each other differently. Don't let slavery trouble you. In the Lord, the one who was a slave when called, is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. So when slaves look at a freed person, they were supposed to say, oh, that's the Lord's slave. And when freed person looked at slaves, they were supposed to say, that person is free in the Lord. And they were supposed to mean these things. And we would treat each other like that because we were all bought with a price. We are all the Lord's slaves and not anybody else's. And that's the bottom line. Do not become slaves of humans in this paragraph means ignore human opinion on these things. Others might think you are on a higher position. Others might think you're in a lower position. Ignore them both. We were all bought with a price, and we all answer to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. This is the third time Paul has stated the core truth. So he's not against changing things. Paul's against any belief that changing my circumstances will move me closer to God or make me greater in the kingdom or more useful to God in any way. Let's not reduce serving the Lord to a list of ministry things, a list of things that strong believers do, and then see how many we can do. Because some people's circumstances, some believers' circumstances, rule out almost everything on that list. You know, the basic call of the gospel is to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4. In Philippians 2, Paul writes, "Do everything without grumbling or complaining. This will make you pure children of God in a warped and crooked generation, and you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Do everything without grumbling or complaining." When Paul says keeping God's commands is what counts, this is the kind of thing he's talking about, these commands. The Lord's new command would fit in here, love one another as I loved you. Let's live these out exactly where we find ourselves. That is the only way up, to be faithful in our calling and our assignment. This teaching shows each one of us how to see ourselves before God, and this teaching also guides how we look at one another. So the truth of these eight verses in 1 Corinthians 7 has not done its work until it has shaped both, how we see ourselves and how we see one another. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for telling us the truth. And this is good news for us. Thank you that we are all just as called as the Apostle Paul. And thank you that it's completely available to all of us. It's actually unavoidable. Thank you for making it so simple. Thank you that this leaves no one out, no one at all. And you have included us all in the assigned and the called. And you've gotten rid of the ways, Lord, that we fear we are losers. So now, Lord, aim us at your commands. Work in us so that we'll want to do what pleases you and so that we will do it. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God of peace himself make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.